Come on, Norster Kenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Oh, wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
Make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 161 of Bring in the Box, your underground wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, April 9th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about the end of the season, injuries, and the playoffs.
You know, I'm thinking you should just keep that on so we don't get whatever the hell you brought back with you.
For our audio-only listeners, I'm wearing a fashionable Korean face mask.
Yes.
Okay, now I can talk a little bit better. They are all the rage. I just got back from Asia, so.
So now when I go to the doctor and they ask me if I've been out of the country, I can say no, but I had to sit in the same room with somebody who did?
No, but I got SARS from this guy now. Yeah. I got the bird flu.
Yeah.
Well, and just to continue the introductions, with me as always is Mr. Kenny.
What up?
Hey, Mr. Jive.
Good evening.
So it's been a few weeks. For me, yep. Yeah.
We had about a week and a half ago with Mr. Frost.
Yeah, little three in the box in the wild.
In the wild at Sporty's.
Meanwhile, I was in Japan and Korea.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
Had a great time.
You're about 12 hours off of where we were at.
Yeah, it was 10 hours to be exact, so I could always just subtract 2 hours from my time, and I knew what time it was back home here. Yeah,
that would explain all the good morning tweets at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, every morning I'd send these two yahoos some message, some picture of something crazy I'd seen that day.
I'm going to miss those. Like, what am I going to do when I wake up now? Right. I got so used to, like, okay, what did he see today?
Yeah. Now I got no reason to get out of bed in the morning.
I mean, other than work, a paycheck, family to support.
Exactly. I've got no reason to get out of bed in the morning.
Are you Garfield?
He has lasagna.
I suppose maybe that's what you need in the mornings.
You need lasagna?
Yeah.
Well, my wife got a new position, and actually the guy who owns her business also owns Simex. So
we
get discounts on the lasagna and meatballs and stuff like that. So now I got lasagna to get out of bed for in the morning.
I'd be in it for the meatballs alone.
Yep.
But I did bring back some gifts for you guys.
Oh,
so,
we like gifts.
So the first thing is this crazy candy. Let's see what I got on the screen here. From Japan. Ooh. So my wife and I, we went to a pug cafe.
I did see that.
Which is a thing, apparently. We went to that in Kyoto, and along with them throwing pugs at you randomly, they also gave you some snacks for yourself, aside from snacks to give to the dogs. Oh.
Do they charge to go into those?
Yes. But you get like a soft drink and some light snacks and pugs.
Is it like time? Like you can be in there
for an hour?
You
yes.
get your puggles.
So, I'll let you experience it. You'll see they look a lot like
antacid tablets,
Smarties, giant Smarties.
They do,
but when you try it, just
is that an Alka-Seltzer?
It like foams, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Kind of chalky, but sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it gets really foamy now. I can't even talk.
So welcome to, again, another episode of Three in the Box where we're all chewing.
We're all foaming at the mouth now, thanks to Aaron.
We got rabies.
Luckily, I also brought with some...
Something to wash it down.
From a different country.
From Korea. Not South Korea, just Korea, because there's only one Korea. Remember that. This is soju, which is their national drink. I think 70% of the alcohol they drink is soju. Soju is the number one selling alcohol in the world, or brand.
Really?
Because Koreans drink a lot of it.
Oh.
They drink a ton of it. There's a etiquette to pouring and drinking soju. Normally the oldest pours first.
Hey, I like this.
But you don't pour it for yourself. You pour it into other people's glasses.
Oh.
You never pour your own drink. And then when you receive it, you hold with two hands to receive the beverage. So what you're supposed to do.
So I don't have to pour it while you're holding it.
You're supposed to, yeah, actually.
Well, oh. Get them up.
I'll let Kenny pass mine. And then so what you normally do is you drink it.
How high do you go?
I don't know. It's like 17% alcohol. It's like wine.
Okay.
So do I pass it with two hands?
Yeah, you can pass with two hands. You're supposed to drink it with two hands as well.
Okay. So who pours mine then?
Kenny would.
Kenny would.
Yeah. Being the youngest or just because?
Just someone other. You don't pour your own drink is basically the thing. So Jive is pouring the soju for Kenny right now. And so what you...
And so you can see it. I will hold with two hands here.
Yeah.
I'm pouring right over Jive's laptop.
That's okay. This one, I'm willing to let explode.
Oh. And so what you do...
Hey, come on now.
So what you do is when you drink it, at least from what I understand, talking to my friend that lives in South Korea, in Seoul, is that you drink it, and you chase it with beer. And so we've got some nice beer to chase it
so
with.
So drink it with two hands.
Drink it with two hands. You're not supposed to drink it looking at each other, from what I've read, but we didn't observe that. So, because you're not, I guess it's disrespectful or something, baring teeth, or I don't know. That's what animals do, I guess.
Okay, so you guys, like, look that way.
So you'll see it smells kind of like vodka. Do we
cheers this?
No, you don't need to. It's like a sweet vodka, but not as alcohol-y.
It is very vodka-y.
So there you have it, soju.
I was going to try to see what the ingredients were, but I can't read Korean. 100% something. I got the 100% part.
That's not Korean.
The numbers aren't. I also got to go see a couple baseball games while I was there, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, fun.
Got to see a game in both Korea and one in Japan. Japan game was the Swallows versus the Carp.
Nice.
The Carp won. I got to say, the interesting thing is the Japanese fans have created songs for all their players.
Oh.
So rather than walk-up music, the fans
sing them, huh?
Yep.
Nice.
And they do have an announcer. So, like, there's one, I think he's a Dominican player, and they call him Coco. Now up. Coco! So I thought that was pretty good. Korea, they don't really have a PA, but both teams have like amplified cheering sections, like with dance routines and everything.
Wait, was this similar to like the Korean thing that we saw?
No. This was like
for the Olympics?
This is like K-pop, high energy.
Ooh.
It's like, it's not nonstop. Basically, if your team is bad and your cheer squad is going balls out.
Okay.
Oppo Gangnam style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's relentless, like, through the whole game. And it's like, in North America, we don't do anything like that for sports. We're like...
And definitely not for the whole game.
No.
No.
And especially not games in April.
Right.
You know? Well, at least for baseball. Here. Or hockey would be, like, in October, you know?
Right.
You know, you're not getting that excited.
Is their baseball season the same as ours?
Roughly, yeah. And they play fewer games, but roughly.
But it's same time. It's not like a winter league like going down to South America.
No, because their winters line up pretty closely.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Japan was in the 70s and 80s. It was gorgeous. Korea was probably where we should be right now.
Yeah.
Did you get to see any sumo wrestling?
Nope. The big sumo match had just ended like the week before we got there, so I didn't get to see any sumo.
Are they on like a seasonal thing as well?
So they have like a match, I believe it's every month or two, or every 2 months. I think they do it 4 to 6 times a year.
So there's usually like a big set of matches, like
kind of like every MMA here, where it's like it's
yeah,
kind of goes all year long, and then also there will be like a pay per view event or something.
Yeah, I don't know all the stuff with it because since it was like it'd be like the off season,
right?
We didn't get to get any tours of that. Yeah, well, we did a lot though.
Any other crazy sports stuff?
I did get to. It's motorsports, but I got to drive a go kart.
Oh yeah, around downtown Tokyo. That. Dressed as Wario.
Awesome.
So that was actually on the street. You weren't like, it wasn't like an enclosed.
We had to go to AAA and get an international driver's license to do it.
No kidding.
So we brought.
So these things are like pretty powerful.
No, they're go karts. I mean, it's just a, you know, a single speed engine. It's nothing.
So nothing crazy.
Oh, but we were getting up to about 80 kilometers per hour.
How many miles
was
per
that
hour?
Like 55?
55, yeah. Oh,
that's pretty fast.
Yeah, it's really fast when you're...
So it's not like the go-karts, like, yeah, as a kid go-kart. Like, you were actually, like...
I mean, when we were in downtown proper, it was a Saturday night, so it was, like...
Stop and go.
It was a little bit stop and go, but their base is on the outskirts of town, and so the stretch going to and from downtown, we could open it up, and you're just, like...
So what was this? Just like Mario, straight up Mario Kart, or what?
It's just a little go kart, and everyone puts on costumes. Like,
were they all Mario Kart related costumes, or was
no? There... So, some people had one person had Superman, one person had Minnie Mouse.
So just costumes in general.
Yes, but the great thing is you get into character, and people are like, as you're stopped at lights in downtown, people are coming up to your cars and taking pictures with you.
Nice.
So it's like, it was pretty weird.
Do they run this often? Is it like a regular thing, or is it?
Yeah, okay. It's like an outfit that they've got. You know, they warn you, you know, don't throw any banana peels while you're driving, and you learn who is actually a seasoned driver because. Driving behind some of the people, it's just like, oh my God, stop, you know, driving, you know, the gal I was driving behind, she'd have like six car lengths between her. Mm-hmm. It's like, Larissa is behind me. My wife is behind me. We're running red lights. I don't know if you know this, but in Japan, they drive on the other side of the road.
Right.
Okay.
So not only are we running red lights, we're doing it and we're a little worried because, you know, it's not a natural feeling turning into the, you know, making a right-hand turn and turning into the far lane.
Sure.
So it's disorienting to begin with.
Right.
And, you know, there was sometimes I was taking those corners, running those red lights.
Yeah.
I felt like I was drifting because...
Well, it didn't say no right-hand turn on red, right?
Right. There is that.
So yes. How long was that ride?
It was 2.5 hours.
Oh, wow. So you guys were out there for a while.
Yeah.
And you're right amongst the other traffic. You didn't feel like you're going to get run over by a car.
Oh, yeah. You totally felt like you're going to get run over. Yeah. I mean, there was one time we got cut off by a taxi. He just, you know, eased right into us. And it's like, okay, I guess you're going in and cutting in this pack of go-karts here. It was bonkers. If you're ever in Tokyo, I highly suggest it.
I don't think I would. Yeah. I think that'd be top of my list.
Too. Go at night. It's a little crazier at night, but I think it's just the ambiance is just better. Mm-hmm. It's bonkers.
Right.
So the go-karts have like regular license plates on them.
Yeah.
Since they're driving
like motorcycle license plates.
So full on working brake lights and turn signals and everything else.
Yep. You had a little, it was a weird, you know, turn signal, but I'm probably sure it's what you'd see on a motorcycle.
Crazy. You
know. Yeah.
And then your license from AAA.
That you need a passport and your AAA license and you're good to go.
And you didn't have to like do like any type of test or anything. No. Just like go in, fill out some paperwork and like, okay.
That's why I think that the gal I was behind, I don't think she normally drives. Because she ran into at least two other cars. not like park cars, but
go-karts.
Go-karts, and that you're not supposed to do that because
right.
I mean, these are actual machines that, you know, they don't want damage. They're not bumper cars. Yeah. So
that actually sounds amazing.
It was awesome. It was completely awesome. And both my wife and I were worried about the food. You know, I'm a picky eater, but I found plenty of great things to eat. And
Raw chicken.
I ate raw chicken, which is disturbing. Tastes great, mm-hmm. though.
Oh, you're still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, no salmonella still here.
Right.
Yeah.
Just a little...
A little head cold for the plane,
congested.
But...
Congested.
Yeah.
It could just be the chicken catching up with you.
Man. Yeah, I think... Yeah, I think
the chicken would give you congestion. I think it'd be the opposite.
Yeah, I think I'm safe
there. I think
it'd
be
there.
Leaking more than you would be stuffed up.
Yeah, I didn't have that problem. I understand why Japanese people are so fit, though, because it's like you can walk a ton.
Yeah.
And the food is... I don't know, we had a lot of good food, too. Found out about Omer rice, which is an rice omelet thing. They also have like little rice omelet things you get at 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven's there. The food is immaculate.
It's not like gas station food here.
No. It's like people are legitimately getting food there rather than going to a restaurant.
Huh.
I ordered restaurant food from a vending machine. Weird. Mm-hmm. You go to the vending machine, pick out what you want, and then give them a ticket that pops out of the vending machine, and they make it for you.
Nice.
It's, I don't know. I highly suggest someone, even if you're like scared of food or worried about the language barrier, just do it. Get weirded out.
Sounds like a chance in a life.
Price-wise, yeah. Like here versus there?
It was...
Exchange?
It was pretty close.
Was it?
Yeah. It was actually made it really easy because the yen is basically a 10 to 1 or 100 to 1.
Okay.
10 to 1. So basically, 100 yen is basically a dollar.
Got it.
And then
so 100, yeah.
And then in Korea, 1,000 won was basically a dollar. So the way I do it is like treat the comma like a period, and there, sure. And made it pretty easy. They're pretty close to, at mm-hmm. least. So
let's talk hockey.
I think we should talk some hockey.
All right, let's get into it.
So, since we last left you from Sporties, the Wild had 6 games left, back-to-back, home-and-home with the Stars. I think it was back-to-back, or at least it was home-and-home against the Stars. We had the Oilers, and then ended up with the last 3 games on the road, on the West Coast against the Ducks, the Kings, and the Sharks. So, starting off with the first game, the Stars... Wild win 5-2. Parise, 2 goals. Dumbo with a goal, 3 assists. Granny with a goal, 2 assists. Zucker with a goal and assist. Suter with 2 assists. All around, solid game.
Yeah.
Kind of took care of them at home. Went back to Dallas, and this is where things kind of started going bad for the Wild and the rest of the season. Even though it's not done with yet. Wild lose 1-4. Parise with the lone goal. What really hurts, though, is Suter got injured in the middle of the game. I think it was towards the end of the second period. Mm-hmm. He's out with a fractured fibula for the rest of the season, postseason included. I mean, we won't see him on the ice until next season again.
Yeah, I think what I heard was, it's like not even sure he'll be ready for the start of next season.
I mean, that's a pretty significant injury.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's major. Yeah. In fact, that game... because that was Easter, Holy Week, Easter, and working for a church as a tech, we actually had a service that night, and I had it up on our screens in the sanctuary with the audio going as we're waiting, and because my one musician is also a huge hockey fan, so we have the game going on, we're watching the Wild, and I think at that point it was still a fairly close game. I think they're only down 2-1 when Suter got hurt, and we happened to turn it off, I think, minutes before that actually happened. So I sent them a text because I was up butt cracking on the next morning. I think I sent them a text. I was like, dude, we're effed. And he's just like, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
So.
But the Wild have carried on.
They have. So we'll go through a couple of these games real quick. Next game, we had our last home game of the season against the Oilers. Wild shut the Oilers out 3-0. Parise with another 2 goals.
Now, hold on. They shut out the Oilers?
They shut out the Oilers.
Sans Suter. All right. See?
Joel Arisenak with the empty net goal at the end of it. Wild were looking solid. Then we're on the road, and we kick off our last 3 games against the Ducks. First off, Dumbo with a bomb off the top of the circle for the only goal of the game. The Wild lose 3-1. Kings, while we're looking pretty good that game, they rally back in the third, being down 4-2 to force an overtime. Goals from Murphy, Dumba again, Stahl, and Prosser.
Shorty from Prosser.
Shorty from Prosser. And, I mean, that was a beautiful goal. And that's when that forced the game into overtime. Lost it in overtime. Brown ended up with the overtime winner with his fourth goal of the game.
So for Dustin Brown. The Wild lost to Dustin Brown.
The Wild essentially lost to Dustin Brown that game. Yep. And then the final game of the season against the Sharks, Wild ended up beating the Sharks 6-3. Zucker with two goals. Brodin with a goal. Cullen with a goal. Granny with a goal. Stahl with goal number 42 of the season to tie Marion Gaborik. Where is it? For the Wild franchise record for most goals in a season. Belpedio called up. I think it was his first game at the Wild. I don't know if it was his first NHL game. He gets two assists. Ennis gets two assists. Nino gets two assists. So a lot of multiple points going around that game.
Yep.
Burns actually got a goal against the Wild that game.
As he normally does.
I think, yeah,
I'm pretty sure that every game he plays against the Wild.
Right.
So that wraps it up. The Wild finish off the season with 101 points. I believe is the fourth most that they've had in franchise record. Fourth time that they've also hit three digits.
For Boudreaux, that is his eighth NHL season, full season, having finished with more than 100 points.
That's pretty impressive.
That is.
Especially considering that the injuries that we have had this season.
Definitely.
And speaking of injuries, let's talk about the main one that is recent and the Suter injury. So we've kind of seen that the Wild can still kind of hold on, but what do you guys think the impact and what changes will we see or have seen that will continue not having Suter for the playoffs?
Well, I think in my personal opinion, I mean, Suter eats up a lot of minutes out there.
Yeah.
And his minutes, you know, that's not easy to, you know, come by. That's, right. You know, a lot of wear and tear on your other defensive men. That said, though, it's going to give some of these other guys the opportunity, actually, though, to step up and shine. You know, when your shifts are limited during a game, so are your opportunities. So, you know, somebody's got to step up. They're all professionals out there, so somebody's going to have to fill in that role. And I think that, you know, we've got a good base of defensive men that, you know, should be able to step up and come in there.
So. We did see Brodin and Dumba taking that top pairing.
Brodin and Dumba. How good is the Prosser pickup looking now? I mean, you know, you like to, you know, give the hometown guy a little bit of crap being from Elk River and stuff, but
can't trust those Elk River ends.
Right. But I mean, really, I think that Prosser has been a pretty important piece, even playing on the third pairings or the second pairings. You match him up with one of these younger guys. He's helping those guys along.
Put him on the PK and he gets a shorty.
I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I think we're covered, man.
It's going to be tough. I think, you know, it's really going to depend on how the people that are filling into these new spots and moving up, you know, a rung, how they perform. Yeah. You know, looking at the end of the season and, you know, after he got hurt, two wins, a loss, an overtime loss. You know, I'm a little worried about that not being enough come playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
But three of those were on the road, so I'm going to be hopeful, but at the same point, I'm a little worried, especially, you know, considering what our matchups might end up being.
I don't know. I think I was liking, you know, the amount of offense we've had. You know, maybe we aren't going to be able to rely as much on our defensive game. But I think Dubnyk has been definitely, you know, stepping up. And, I mean, in some of his last games, he's made some, what I would say, classify as some spectacular saves. So looking at that, I'm thinking that you know, things are gelling with this team right now. I think we're on a serious uptick. Yes, we've, you know, had a couple of lumps along the way, but I think, you know, there was the one game where we only scored one goal, right?
Two of them. Stars in Dallas and then Ducks.
Was that one goal or two?
Yeah, Stars was okay. 1-4 and Anaheim was 1-3.
And Anaheim was really a low scoring game, actually.
It was 3-1. Yeah, and I think they got an empty net.
The empty net was a third goal. And, you know, even that second goal, I mean, it was a close game the entire time. So
right.
It could have went actually either way for the teams. And, you know, sometimes it's going to go one way, you know.
Well, here's my thoughts. Suter does pick up a lot of minutes that have to be made up for somehow.
Right.
So you're going to have guys that are going to be skating a little bit more. You know, maybe it's an extra minute throughout a game, but you know that could be one extra shift that they're skating that they're not used to skating. So you're gonna have that. You're also gonna have the power play aspect of it, where you can skate four forwards and Suter on the line and throw in Coyle on the second blue line spot, where you have, you know, you've got that, and you can kind of count on Suter to cover a lot of those minutes. A few of our fans don't exactly care for that, but that's the way it is, and that's some of the minutes he was taking up at that point. So you're going to have that. The one thing that I did not mention is, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, is Spurgeon will be back, it sounds like, for playoffs. So right. That'll help pick up some of that slack, too. But yeah, I think the biggest impact is going to be, you know, and he's also a very defensive defenseman. He didn't skate, didn't look like he skated fast, but he tended to be in the right spot at the right time.
Right.
A good chunk of it. You know, and we can have guys that can play the same amount of minutes, but as much as I like Dumba, and Dumba makes some great plays, and as reading off, I mean, Dumba had some goals and some points in that last series. He has also made some stupid plays that he's given up a goal that, or given up a puck or lost a puck that almost led to having
led to a goal. As this week happened.
But I would definitely say that his game is elevating, though. It's not, I mean, the instances of those, you know, types of mistakes by him are getting further and further apart.
But when they happen, they're dangerous.
Picking up the game. Yeah, but also, tell me about the benefits of having a guy who can step up into play, who can move up into the offensive zone on the forecheck and help out there and give you an extra boost offensively.
Oh,
I think that his upside on the offensive end is way more of an impact than any of his downsides on the defensive
side. As long as you're scoring more than you're giving up, you know, you allow that. You know,
right.
It's when you're making more bonehead plays than you are, you know, great slappers from the point, you know.
And I think he's more beneficial to the team right now than he is a detriment.
I think so. I think that's safe. I think the one thing that, you know, is kind of lost in this, and I think Kenny made a good point on this, is Suter ate up points or minutes in the power play. So you're actually going to be seeing probably more forwards getting ice time, and maybe even possibly
the one defenseman and four forwards happening.
And so maybe there's a possibility of wearing down some of our forwards a little bit more too. So I don't think it's all on the defense, you know, as far as picking up that, shouldering that load. There's going to be some forwards and some other guys that are going to be having to shoulder that load as well.
Definitely.
So the other low light, this would be on the highlight side of things this week. Stahl tying Gavrik's franchise record for 42 goals.
Oh.
You know,
one more goal horn for that.
I know. I was pretty adamant. I thought he was going to hit 44, you know, 43, 44, maybe 45. Well, he tied at 42.
I'm pretty sure I said he would be like right on the cusp of it, but
yeah. And it was the last game that he got it on.
Yep.
Happy he tied, sad he didn't go beyond, or indifferent?
I'm glad that he tied. Really, I think that Stahl, you know, in general for our team since he's come here, he's never been like a downer on the team.
No.
Or a downer for the team. You know, I know that it was kind of a, you know, reinvent your career or, you know, give yourself a boost here. But I think that he came here and he's been successful. And I definitely think that, you know, he deserves, you know, every bit of credit that he's getting. And I think that, that the guy deserves it. I mean, he's obviously done the time. He's not a selfish player either.
No.
Nope.
He's, you know, many times have we seen him, you know, feeding the puck to somebody. And, you know, even in that last game, you know, where he is trying to, you know, meet the Wild record and stuff, you know. I mean, unselfishly handing pucks off. I think he assisted on Zucker's or something, if I remember right. But, yeah, and I think he's an all-around team player, so he's playing for the team. He happened to, you know, tie the goal. I think he's probably proud of that, and I think he should be.
Yeah. Well, it sounded like he was. I think, sorry, Aaron, I didn't mean to cut you off. The brief interview that I did see, he goes, you know, this is a great franchise, and being up there with Marion Gaborik and tying that, he's like, it's an honor in and of itself. So, I think he's also humble enough, as kind of like what you're alluding to, Jive, you know, and it, team aspect wise and not the individual, which honestly, I don't know if I could say that about Gaborik.
No.
Well, what I think is really kind of amazing is Stahl in two seasons has put up 70 goals. Yeah. He's only 11 goals away from being the top 10 goal scorer
of all time.
In the top 10.
Of all time? Or of for all the time, Wild?
For the Wild.
Yeah. In
two seasons. So he gets 11. Well, technically he gets 12 because Coyle's ahead of him. So I would imagine if Coyle stays with the team, he'll be kind of matching pace. But Wes Walls is at 9 with 82 goals. You know, as long as Stahl's healthy next year, odds are he's going to pass Walls.
Yeah.
You know, and Rolston at 96, that's only 26 goals. So there, it's quite possible that he's going to be, you know, solidly in the top 10
for goal scorers. And Zucker's going to probably be coming up there, too.
But Zucker's already at 97. He's already at 7.
Oh, he's already up there.
He's already up there. See? So Nino's
Zucker's at... Zucker's been having a hell of a year this year.
Oh, he is.
Yep.
He's at, what, 33 goals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly making the choice to keep him during the expansion draft feel like the most intelligent thing in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, losing my boy Holla, it hurts.
It does.
But, you know.
That's the thing, though, is in that, you know, no team was going to be able to keep it all.
No. And everyone, I mean, that you can tell by how that team has performed, everyone lost. Almost everyone lost a significant player.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got Seattle coming up in a few years, too, so it's going to happen again.
Yeah, and you never know. They might reconfigure a little
bit.
Maybe they feel they gave them too big of an advantage.
Well, we'll see how this goes. Was it us last show where we were talking about Holla, if he would have stayed with the Wild, would not be getting the opportunities that he's getting down in Vegas.
Holla, exactly. He would not be getting those opportunities. He wouldn't be playing where Jason Zucker is at right now.
No.
The Wild would have probably made some sort
of
off-season move.
I liked Holla. Something. I really did. But for him personally, he's better off in Vegas.
And
we wouldn't see those numbers from him up here.
And you also got to remember, and then we let Tuck go too, but... You know, we were also protecting Dumba.
Right.
And, you know, I remember we were looking at the end of the season last year and like, well, our decor is, you know, pretty solid. We had Scandella. We had Spurgeon. We had Suter. You know, we were like,
Dumba,
well, you could maybe let, we had Brodin. We could maybe let Dumba go. But, I mean, how good does that look now? I like having him up there in his offensive, you know, I mean.
Tuck and Holla, that's 44 goals right there.
Okay.
Well, 44 goals with Vegas.
With Vegas, yes.
Okay. They wouldn't necessarily have that here.
True.
Dumba and Zucker, how many goals is that?
Well, we wouldn't be losing both of them, though. Not an expansion draft.
No, it would have been one or the other.
Yeah. Because you only had to expose one, so.
And
we basically, they took Hala and then Tuck was on a back end deal.
Right.
Or they took Tuck and Hala was a back end deal.
For them not to take Dumba because Dumba was left out in the open.
Right.
Right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really what the option was. So
right.
It wasn't a Dumba and Zucker. It was a Dumba or Hala and Tuck.
Yeah. Right. But and they protected Zucker. And they
right.
But because of some of that, they weren't able to protect
them. They had to expose
them. Right, yeah.
No, I mean, the thing is, it's all going to come to fruition in a couple of years and all these contracts start ending, and all of a sudden, salaries are going to be going way up, and we're going to start losing these players. So we're at the point where it's like, you know, it's almost a shit or get off the pot, like, you got to win the cup or you're going to be rebuilding. Kind of like what happened to Chicago this year.
Or New York. Yeah.
You know, you're paying this much for these guys and you got to actually make something happen with it or you're going to have to rebuild.
The problem is we've got that Parisian Suter contract for
those are big.
Long time.
That is big.
Yeah.
Speaking of playoffs and the season stuff.
Yeah.
Let's get into some wild card talk.
All right.
So, for longtime listeners, you will know that we started the three in the box power play.
Power play.
Did we start it last year? We started last year.
So we got it. This year's our second year.
Continue it this year. The results are in, and let me see if I've got that.
There we go.
All right.
So, results, I bit it.
nobody got ones. The only team that got ones is Teamy McTeamface.
Yes, our you have to have four teams in the ESPN league, so we made a Teamy McTeamface, which picked after the three of us. And Teamy took last. Poor Teamy.
As should have been expected,
took last in every category. My team didn't do much better, with the exception of faceoffs one and penalty minutes.
And penalty minutes. Which is surprising because Jive was going after the penalty minutes.
I was, and then we got rid of Stewart.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because you still retained him on your team.
Oh, because he didn't play.
Ooh.
Oh, see?
Actually, if he does, you get points.
If he had played for Calgary, you would have got points for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, my team did not do well. My team was made up of Miko, Marcus Foligno, Charlie Coyle, Jared Spurgeon, Cullen. Obviously, that group is not a high-scoring group.
And Spurgeon has spent considerable time out this season, unfortunately.
Spent a good deal. Well,
speaking of time out, my team had the most injuries and least games played out of all of them.
Hmm.
Minus
only
team
because
team
you
pace.
Had Parisi, who missed half the season.
Right.
I had 338 games played compared to 370 and 364 with you guys.
Right.
And a half a season of Parisi is worth more than a full season of Foligno.
Well, I mean, yeah, but the fact that I missed more games than you guys and I still took number one. I think I did pretty good on my draft. Just saying.
Says the littlest guy in the room. We're going to come over here and pass that off.
Your team is the most injured, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Your players, Parisi.
And Nino
missed some time.
And Brodin missed time.
And my team missed time, though, too, so.
Foligno,
Coyle was hurt for a bit. Spurgeon was hurt for a bit.
Who had Stahl?
I did.
So shut up.
Yeah.
Stahl, I think, actually got me
everything.
Most of it.
Mm-hmm.
He was my.
Actually, your team is pretty solid. Let's be honest here.
You know, time on ice was Suter.
Suter and Brodin.
And Brodin.
Combination of
those.
Well,
I mean, Brodin missed, what, 9 games?
Yeah, but it's average time on ice, so that doesn't matter.
Right. So that helped. Goals. Who had Zucker?
I did.
So that is, I think you took second with that, right?
Yes. Zucker definitely helped me along.
So.
And I think we can safely say Teamy McTeamface's team is pretty bad.
There was a while I was worried about the plus minus with you and Teamy.
Yeah, I was a little worried too. team, he only had one player play the whole season, Tyler Ennis, with 73 games. Gustav Olsson was next with 41 games. Next is Kyle Quincy. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Who, what?
Oh, that guy.
Luke Cunnan had 17 games. Birchie was also there. He played a single game. So,
looking at some of these categories, I mean, we weren't too far off from each other on some of them, and it could have it could have gone completely different. Assists were actually really close.
Yeah, I mean,
looking at the overall numbers,
there are some categories. Penalty minutes were all really pretty close. Blocks, there's some closeness there. I mean, there's some wiggle room here.
That it could have changed some stuff around.
Yeah.
So really, what we're looking at though is that, in general, when we're looking at the Wild team, I think that it is a fairly good team effort. We got stuff coming from, you know, all over the place on the Wild. If you're looking at those fantasy points and translating that to the team that's out on the ice, when you say how close we are, you know, in some of these categories, I mean, everybody is pitching in.
So. Well, I think that's kind of how it's been the past 2 years.
And I think the golden rule is don't try to build your team on winning faceoffs.
Well, however, if your entire fantasy league is based on faceoff wins, Aaron, I think you did have more faceoff wins than all the other three teams combined.
I'd almost double the faceoff wins
the other three teams combined. Damn close.
Yeah. So
no bonus points for that.
No bonus points.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Well, really, I mean, you know, and speaking of that, I mean, I think that, you know, we say there how that kind of shows how the Wild are, you know, everybody's kind of pitching in, and I think it'll probably lead us into our next talk, but how the Wild are going to do in the playoffs here, I think that's maybe part of the difference is we've got everybody pitching in, plus we have a couple of guys who are just standing out this year, like a Staal, like a Zucker. I mean, maybe this is the time. We've got a couple people standing up. If our goaltending, you know, hangs in there, I think we might have a shot at it.
Well, let's talk about it.
Let's talk, yeah.
Let's talk playoff predictions.
Do we want to talk Wild predictions first, or do we want to get the whole spiel?
We'll start with that game, but as a friendly reminder, we do have a bracket challenge league going on.
You'll probably lose.
Yes, it's you'll probably be wrong.
You'll probably be wrong.
Look at our Twitter feed. There's a post in there with a link, or check us out on Facebook. There's a link there. Join the league because you know it's fun.
You'll probably be wrong. Same with the rest of us.
Same with the rest of us.
The NHL bracket challenge, right?
Yes.
Wait, what do they call it? The Jägermeister cool shots?
It used to be like Bridgestone advertisement, I think, right?
Yeah, it used to be Bridgestone.
Well, maybe
Enterprise.
Well, all it is Enterprise, and Enterprise jacked it last year. We couldn't get anything done.
Yeah, last year's was bad, like epic bad. Well, let's just go through the first. I'm going to quickly go through the first round matchups, and then we'll talk. Or actually, we'll go by divisions and conferences, and we'll figure this out.
Oh, I know. Right.
So we'll start with our division, Central Division. Start with our matchup, Wild versus Winnipeg, the 2 versus the 3. Wild being the 3. Predictions, who will win?
It's going to be tough. I think it's going to go down to Game 7, to be quite honest. I think it's going to be long and drawn out. However, I'm homering this series, and I'm going with the Wild. But, you know, they have done okay on the road. I do see them actually in the first two games taking one from Winnipeg, but I also see them losing one at home against Winnipeg in the first four. But it's going to be tight. It's going to be knocked down, drag out with them.
And I got to say, I see this one going to, you know, 7 games as well. It's not going to be an easy series. To start out with here. I got to go the homer way. I got to vote for the Wild winning this one here, but I really do see this as a series that could go either way.
I think this is the only series that I picked 7 games on.
So I'm going to totally disagree with you guys.
You're going Winnipeg.
I'm going to Winnipeg. I want the Wild to win, obviously. Winnipeg A is super hot right now. They're coming in on fire.
Coming in hot.
I mean, they're basically, it was, we didn't know who, if they were going to get the first spot or the second seed.
Yeah, that's right, because Nashville, even though they had like the most points in the league at the time, they weren't even guaranteed to be President's Cup winners until like two games left.
Right, and so Winnipeg is coming in hot. They play a physical game, which the Wild always struggle against, and that has me completely worried, is the physical element of the game.
Is this our Chicago this year?
It could be. And I also worry about the, you know, the Wild play well at home. I think they had the best record or second best record at home this season. However, Winnipeg is not a far drive.
No.
And I'm a little worried that they're going to have some infiltration here and that friendly home crowd will turn a lot faster than we might care it to be. So I actually have Winnipeg winning in six games.
All right.
So on the other side, we alluded to it. Also, the central matchup is, I think, what we're going to call it. Number one, Nashville versus wild card Colorado. Thoughts on this one?
I've got Nashville's taking this one. I got it five games.
So do I.
I don't think that it's...
It's unanimous, Nashville in five games.
Nashville in five.
Colorado's done all right to, you know, hold in and take a wild card spot here, but I don't think they're going to have it to take over.
Colorado, I don't think, has the team to do it. Nope. Nashville's itching, I think, after losing the cup last year. They got, back? Late in the season, country singer's husband, dude.
Underwood's
husband.
Fisher.
Came back. I think he's going to help try to lead that team to victory again. And I think Nashville's actually going to be, they're going to be tough. I think they tasted it, and I think they want the full thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Colorado could threaten, but... They're not.
It might be the one game, but I think we all think the same thing.
Yeah.
Colorado's going to lose one at home. They're going to lose both in Nashville. They're going to lose one at home, and then Nashville's going to win it in Nashville. Yep.
So what are we looking at out on the Pacific there then?
So out in the Pacific, we'll start with the big one. The Golden Showers, Golden Knights against the LA Kings. Number one versus the wild card.
Vegas.
I've got Vegas picked in this one as well. I think that this is going to be a good series, though. I know the Kings are walking in here as a wild card, but I definitely think that the Kings have the ability to put up.
Do you remember a few years back when the Kings won their first cup? They came in as the number eight seed, and they barely made it in.
Right. So
you can't discredit the Kings on that.
Yeah, don't discount them, right? But I do agree, though. I think it's going to be Vegas in six.
I have Vegas in five.
And I also put Vegas winning. I think it's going to go longer. I think this is a pretty close matchup.
Yeah.
So I'm going to full seven on this one.
Seven.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I do think, I think Vegas, the new kids on the block, and I think they want to, you get, it's the Island of Misfit Toys with those guys, too. And I think they're out to prove something, that you can throw that team together and they can make it happen. So I think they're actually going to go quite far into the... I think they're going to go deep into the series.
Interesting tidbit while I was researching this. There's only two teams that the Knights have not beaten. One of them is the Wild.
The Minnesota Wild.
Yeah.
So the Wild and I think the Islanders were the other one.
I didn't realize... I thought the Wild were the only team that...
Nope.
Okay.
They were 0-2-0 against the Islanders.
Ah, and they were 0-5-0, 0-4-0?
0-3-0.
0-3-0.
Yeah. So the other side of the Pacific is Anaheim versus San Jose. That's 2-3.
Well, it's on the same side of the Pacific.
So. Yeah, it is. Other side of the state. I went with San Jose winning in six games.
I took San Jose in six as well.
And... likewise, I took San Jose in six.
Wow. So the only thing that we've varied on has been essentially Minnesota-Winnipeg as far as who's going.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, and then the amount of games with the Vegas and Kings.
Makes for exciting sports talk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
But I think looking at the East, I think we're going to have a little bit more discrepancy amongst our picks.
Yeah, I would agree. Starting off in the Atlantic, the names on the East always confuse me. Number one, Tampa Bay versus the wild card New Jersey Devils. I think this is the only one I called. I called this as a sweep for Tampa Bay.
You went with sweep, huh?
I figure there's bound to be one sweep, so I figured if I'm picking a sweep, I'm picking this as my sweep.
I was close to picking this as my sweep, but I went with Tampa in five.
I gave New Jersey a little bit more credit, but I went with Tampa in six.
You're a John Bon Jovi fan, aren't you?
Tom Chorsky fan.
Tom Chorsky fan. All right.
The other game, Boston number two versus Toronto three. I went with Boston on this one. I think Boston's coming in red hot. Toronto is Toronto.
Yeah. Toronto, you know, I mean, they made their way back into the playoffs here, but yeah, this is the one that I've picked for a sweep. I've got Boston taking this one in four games.
You know, and this one, I am actually opposite of both of you guys on this one. I think Toronto's going to upset Boston.
This is their year.
This is their year until they hit the conference finals. But I got Toronto taking it in six games.
Okay. Then off to the Metro, we have number one, Washington versus the Blue Jackets is the wild card.
Washington can always get through that first round. Generally speaking, it's what happens after that that is unreliable. But I got Washington taking it in six.
And I think that, you know, while the Blue Jackets, yes, are coming in only as a wild card, they started off their season hot, but, you know, kind of fizzled a little bit. But I still think that the Blue Jackets will probably they should match up pretty well to the Capitals, and I'm actually taking the Blue Jackets to win this one. In it's not going to be easy, but I think they'll do it in seven.
I am also going with the upset. I'm going with the Blue Jackets. Blue Jackets are coming in red hot, yeah. And I think the Capitals. I've bet on them too many times in previous.
Yeah. So you just got to bet on them up to a certain point.
This will probably mean this will be the year that they go all the way and win.
Right.
But I'm going with Columbus winning in seven games as well. Other matchup is the Penn State Challenge, Pittsburgh number two versus Philly number three. Kenny.
They were actually pretty tight in the standings, weren't they? I believe, like point-wise. Hold on, I got it right here.
Fairly.
198. 100 for Pittsburgh and 98 for Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I went with Pittsburgh because it's Pittsburgh and it's tough to go against. And I would actually love to be wrong with this. And if Pittsburgh got knocked out first round by Philly, I'd be okay with that as long as Philly didn't make it past the second round.
Did Kenny just say, if loving you is right, I don't want to be wrong? Is that what he said?
Pretty much. But I have Pittsburgh taking this one in five games, which I think I might have went a little light on.
And I'm in agreement here. I'm thinking Pittsburgh's going to win this series. I've got Pittsburgh in six. I think, you know, Philly will put up a little bit of a fight. It's going to be, you know.
Philly fight?
It'll be a Philly brawl when they, you know, head over there. You know, those nice Pittsburgh folk. Eye roll. But yeah, so I got Pittsburgh in six. There are nice folks in Pittsburgh, some.
And I agree, Pittsburgh's got this one. I picked them in five games. So we want to do let's do a lightning round through the rest of the rounds,
or we can do that.
I think we should wait
because that one.
Well,
it's going to change because if our teams get knocked out, you know.
Right. So okay, that's we can true. Do a quick lightning.
We'll do it quick.
Considering we all have the same in the West.
Yeah.
Almost. Well, except for you.
Yeah. So I've got Nashville versus Winnipeg, and I've got Winnipeg winning that. You guys have Nashville and Minnesota.
Nashville and Minnesota.
I got Minnesota winning.
I've got Minnesota winning. Homers.
Yeah.
Vegas, San Jose.
Vegas, San Jose. I've got Vegas winning.
I got Vegas going as well.
I've got San Jose going.
Ooh.
Okay, so conference, that means, Jive, you've got Minnesota versus San Jose.
San Jose, yep.
And you've got Minnesota going on?
Of course.
And I got Minnesota and Vegas, and I've got Minnesota
going on. We think that the Wild are going to
Minnesota's going to have to beat Vegas because they've got their number. So
that's the odds.
If you're looking for that matchup,
so Vegas odds.
That's the odds.
That's the odds.
Yeah. So I've got Winnipeg versus Vegas. I took Winnipeg, actually. I'm having them go into the finals. In the East, I've got Tampa Bay and Boston in that Atlantic matchup, and I've got Boston taking that win.
Well, I've got Tampa moving along.
See, and I got Tampa and Toronto, and I got Toronto moving along.
What?
It's Toronto's year, man. I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. Is that what you're looking for?
That's exactly what I was trying to do. It wasn't working.
I figured I'd just fill it in for you.
Picked the wrong week to sniff glue.
All right, and in the Metro, I've got Blue Jackets in Pittsburgh. I picked Pittsburgh to move on.
I've got Caps in Pittsburgh, and I got Pittsburgh moving on.
And I've got Pittsburgh and Blue Jackets, and I have Pittsburgh moving on.
So we all got Pittsburgh in the conference, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Let's start there. I got Pittsburgh versus Boston. I got Pittsburgh moving on.
I got Pittsburgh and Toronto, and I have Pittsburgh moving on.
I have Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay, and I have Pittsburgh moving on.
So we're all seeing Pittsburgh in the finals.
Yep.
Yep.
It's a safe bet, I guess,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like I say, exciting sports talk here.
So
wait, maybe exciting sports talk is wrong. I should say Minnesota sports talk.
Eh?
We're Minnesota nice, and we just kind of agree.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
We're agreeable.
So if my bracket goes complete absolute crap, I think the one matchup I'd want to see, and because I don't think it's been done for a while, is Battle of Canada, and I'd like to see Winnipeg and Toronto.
That's possible.
Unlikely, but if my bracket was to go to complete and utter crap, the one matchup with the 16 teams that are left, I think I'd like to see Winnipeg and Toronto.
Why not Sunshine and go for like a couple of Southern teams like L.A. or San Jose.
L.A. versus Tampa Bay.
And Tampa Bay, yeah. How about that?
So we're not going to say who won because we'll leave that for you to be able to see. If you join the bracket challenge, you'll be able to see who we've picked once the first game starts.
Yep.
So that's our teaser there. So join the league. It's a good time. And yeah.
The link will be in with our show notes as well.
Yes, it will.
Yep.
So
Twitter talk, boys.
I think it's time for Twitter.
All right. All right. So without any further delay, let's get into the Twitter questions here. Our first question comes in from at Minnesota Frosty Boy, Chris Frost. So three in the box. Will the Minnesota Wild keep youngsters like Belpedio, I can say it, Greenway, Sealer on the roster for the playoffs, or are they just boosting them by calling them up or and then they're going to use our salty vets out of Iowa.
I think we'll see Sealer, possibly Greenway. But I think we're gonna have to see at least one of them, if not a rotation of them. Especially like we had talked about earlier, not having Suter taking up 24, 26 minutes a game. You're going to kill some of these guys that aren't used to playing those extra few shifts a game. So.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to be carrying an extra D or two, I'm fairly sure, out of those youngsters that are going to be rotating in. I think that I'd have to agree with you that, you know, Sealer is probably at this point, from what I've seen out of even some of the younger ones who have been up, you know, more often this season, like Olofsson and Murphy. I think Sealer, is our best option actually right now.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see these youngsters. The one thing to keep in mind is the schedule for the playoffs is pretty soft as far as days off. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of time to rest players. Mm-hmm. So maybe skating those other two or three shifts a night really won't be that big of a deal because of we're no longer in these back-to-back situations, back-to-back day off followed by back-to-back.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right. Next, coming from Crease and Assist, Mr. Derek Felska. Alan Vigneault was axed on Saturday. Those who are not aware, that is the head coach for the New York Rangers.
Yep.
What other NHL coaches do you think are going to be fired by the end of the week? Any GMs going to get the axe? I'll let you guys answer first. I've got a couple of suspicions. But...
My one that I think that I would pick out would be actually probably the Carolina Hurricanes. I think that, you know, there's some things that probably, you know, need to change down there for them to be successful. And so that's my pick for somebody to go.
You know, I have to, I don't know how possible it is, but I got to say that my guess would be Ken Hitchcock in Dallas.
I was actually thinking Hitchcock. He's got the longevity, and if he gets canned, he's going to be picking up another gig.
If he wants to, I mean, but he's also been around for so long now. It's
Hitchcock was kind of one of my picks, and I was a little hesitant going just because, you know, Ken Hitchcock does normally have he's got a winning record, and he's got a record making it to the playoffs. And Dallas didn't miss it by far, but they did miss it. I'm actually wondering how much longer Yo's going to last in St. Louis.
That's my second choice.
Exactly. I'm over here looking to see where's if I still button? Got him on the board here. But, so, I mean, the Blues, I mean, they started out in, you know, the season on top of the world.
Right.
We've seen that before here in Minnesota too, right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, what happens towards the end of the season? They fall from grace, right?
Yeah.
Which we haven't really seen the tumble with Boudreaux like we have seen with Yo.
No, we haven't. Like we discussed earlier. I mean, Boudreaux, this is his eighth NHL season scoring, you know,
with three digits.
Yeah. So,
you know, because it seemed like every year prior to Boudreaux, it was guaranteed that the Wild were going to, like, come off hot, stumble hardcore in the middle, and then fight to get into the playoffs.
So hit that December, January swoon.
Maybe it's all about the Yo slide.
You know?
Not slide.
Is that like the electric slide?
Yeah, except for it's the Yo slide.
Yo slide.
No slide.
Let's slide into the next question.
All right.
From Tor at Tor Palato 12. Over under, this is regarding Spurgeon. So over under that he, meaning Spurgeon, rushed back and will hear that he isn't 100% after the playoffs, or that he wasn't 100% after the playoffs. What do you think? Spurgeon. Do you think that they were going to find out afterwards that he's rushed back?
I don't think so. I think if they were going to try to rush him back, it would have been that last road trip, the California trip with Anaheim and LA and San Jose. And because he was supposed to be healthy enough to do it, and they ended up keeping him back just because they had already clinched, so there's no reason to rush him back to make him to get the ice time. I think even having that extra, because now that's what, an extra week and a half, almost 2 weeks of downtime for him, of not playing to help rehabilitate, I think he's going to be good. I don't think it's going to be rushing him back. I think they made the right call on not bringing him out to California. Now, is he going to be a little not used to playing up to speed, especially going into a playoff format, you know, as your first game back? That might be a different story. That might impede a little bit more than rushing him back.
No, I don't think that that's going to be a storyline that we'll be following, you know, later on in the playoffs here, is that, you know, he's rushed back and not 100%. I definitely, you know, I think that, like, you know, his legs and speed, I mean, that's the part of his game that's key for his, you know, for him to play, because I mean, he's not a guy with a lot of size. It's not like, right, we're going to go out there and have him stand in front of the net and, you know, just be a big body out there. This is a guy that we're going to need to be, you know, quick and agile and, you know, get the pucks in the corner and be the solid defenseman that we need. So I definitely don't think the Wild will be looking to speed him back at any time. So I think he'll definitely be ready.
And I think every year at the end of the playoffs, we find out some guy was nursing something.
Everybody's nursing something.
Right.
Because, no, I tell you what, when we saw Suter go down the other day, you know, as much as we want to give him crap about gliding around out there, I mean, dude's an Iron Man. I mean, he's, you know, how many games had he, you know, not missed before that?
Remarkably sturdy.
You saw him get off the ice. He was not...
No.
He had two guys helping him.
Yeah, but that was after he first tried to get back up and go to the front of the net.
Right.
And, you know, stand his ground there until he decided, like, oh my goodness, I really just can't stand on my leg.
That would be the farm boy strength.
Right. So.
It's just dangling. It's fine. I can still lift the hay bale. All
right.
I mean, up until this, he had only missed 5 games with the Wild,
yeah,
all in one stretch. So it's like, he's remarkably durable.
Is that what the mumps?
I think that was the
mumps. I think that's the mumps, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
So even then, only a virus could take him out.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to find out everyone's a little banged up, and it could very well be that he's not 100%, but he's close enough where... You know, he's mid-season 100% is basically... Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know. Nobody is 100% at this point, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I think it's kind of a... It's a catch-22
there. That is completely right, though. As soon as the team gets knocked out, all of a sudden you hear who's going in for surgery. And
right.
Who's should not have even been walking, let alone playing in a hockey game.
Yep. All right. Next question comes in from Crease and Assist. 3 in the box with a 2-assist effort on Sunday. Did Tyler Ennis do enough to get a spot in the lineup for the playoffs? So this is coming back from April 8th. So
that was
he's referring to the game
Sharks game
on
the last game of the season.
Right. Yep.
Because Belpedio got 2 assists that game as well.
Yeah. Actually, that line was, like...
insane.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with that line during that game, but they had a little something to prove out there. So, but do you guys think that Ennis has done enough to secure a spot in the lineup for the playoffs?
No.
No.
You want to know what? I don't think he's done enough, but I think he's going to be there.
I think you're going to see a few of those guys that are... going to be rotating through a bit.
He's going to be getting fourth line minutes. He's not going to skate much if he is there. He's been basically invisible the entire season. I'm not holding my breath.
I don't know. He made some rather I don't know, like they were pretty extraordinary passes, like behind the back, you know, getting the it was pretty damn sweet.
It
was nice to see something like that coming out of Ennis.
I mean, he's had a couple moments like that this season, but, yeah, you know.
But they're far and few between.
Right. I mean, yeah.
And most of the time he misses the mark and misses the...
I will say with live audio, with what I do on a regular basis, there's a rule of thumb that you're only as good as your last show.
Yeah.
So you always try to make it solid. And I guess it would even go as... for like a band playing as well.
Or a
group podcast.
So get your point out.
You know what? You can go back and listen to the shows, but it's a lot more prominent going back and watching tape to see where he's been previously and where he's been quiet. And he just happened to have a hot game.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's got a hot game.
True.
From time to time. So I don't think it's solidified anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
From MN Frosty Boy, Mr. Chris Frost, Boudreaux. Boudreaux has been challenging line changing lines all season, not like a teenager changing her mind about a prom dress. Is she sense that he'll stick with certain ones for the playoffs, or will it just be a continual guessing game? I think the one thing that he has going for him right now is the fact that he can put almost any player, any forward with any forward, and have it be somewhat successful and have chemistry there.
It actually is almost kind of a bonus at this time of the season. I mean, you look at over the, you know, even just the last few weeks, you know, I mean, how many different sets of wingers did Staal play with? And I mean, he still continued his success.
Yeah.
Parisi has been, I mean, he's been coming through, you know, since returning, like, you know, he's making up for lost time here. And I mean,
he's been bouncing around between lines, I think partly because, you know, it was just getting them back into the swing of things.
Right. But now he's making whoever's with him, you know, he's making them successful as well. And you got, you know, your Zookers. I mean, we got a lot of people who I've seen Granlund. His game, I think, is elevating right now towards the end of the season here. We're seeing, you know, some of those good sharp shooting goals from him.
Koivu's got those face-off wins.
Hey, you know, I
Koivu's been getting points, though, too.
Yeah.
I think the argument that you need to have set lines that don't change, I think that's kind of an outdated way of looking at lineup construction, because injuries happen. You have guys that go through streaks and that they're just not gelling anymore. If you've got players that only play well with certain other players, that's not a strength, that's a weakness. Because if that player that they pair well with goes down, now we've basically got two guys that are down.
Right.
And
I was the most awesome person in the NHL when I was Sidney Crosby's winger.
You know, right, yeah. Right? Yeah, everyone, so, you know, I could throw on some skates and get, you know, at least a dozen points that, you know, yeah, be on his wing.
I think that having the injuries that we had early on in the season, I think has kind of helped that, where lines were fluctuating a lot and guys were playing, you know, almost every guy, every forward played with almost every other forward with the Wild at one point or another. And I mean, maybe not for a long time. And Aaron, I mean, I will say, you know, you're saying it's completely detrimental to have like just guys that are together all the time. But I think there is something to be said about having two, like, at least a pairing of guys that can read each other. The Sedin, like the Sedin twins, as an example, who just retired. I mean, they've slowed down as they've aged, but I mean, they could find each other quite often without even thinking about where the other one was at.
Sure, I mean, it's great when it works out, but you know, you lose the Sedin twin, and the other one dies inside.
The other one, yeah, pretty much.
It's like the G.I. Joe guys, where you'd hit one, and the other one would feel it.
And honestly, this day and age, like, That's an anomaly. With the way the business works these days, you can't hold a guy or two guys with a, you know, big contract like that together for very long. So yeah, it's you got to be interchangeable parts. So.
You do.
All right. Next question.
Next question from Chris and Assist. Which Japanese game show would be perfect for the following NHL players? Brad Marchand, Dustin Byfuglien, and Gabriel Landeskog. Hashtag don't get eliminated.
Well, Aaron, since you just came back from Japan,
well, there is one, let you answer there is one show that I enjoyed immensely, and it was bringing in celebrities into a room to sign some like legal paperwork, and they had both an electrified pen and an electrified chair. So they would start signing, and then they'd have a counter that they obviously can't see, and these celebrities would get shocked by the pen. And they'd drop the pen and be like, what the fuck? And then they grab the pen again, and then get shocked again. And then, so then they grab another pen, one that was electrified, and starts filling out the form. And then the chair would zap them. it was the best thing in the world. So that's what I would go with. I don't know what that name of that show
was.
We're
gonna go with that. That reminds me of the zapper game that I had for our birthday party that one year.
Yeah.
And I have seen this Japanese game show. I'm sure it was like a YouTube video or something. So I don't know the exact name of the game show, but, you know, so for this video, it was basically like a challenge for these people, and they all got to wear these, skin-tight suits. You know, each was a different color. One was green, one was yellow, one was blue. And they had to climb up this incline. The thing that made it tough, though, was they made it kind of like ice because they ran like this, like slime
stuff. Oh, yeah, that one's great.
Yes. And so they, you know, they could, and I could definitely see some hockey players having fun with this. But then you put them into this and like, and then once like you're almost to the top, I mean, you can like push somebody else down. They might grab your leg and pull you down, or you might just not have enough, you know, traction to get yourself to the top and you just slide all the way back down and then take all your opponents as well.
I ironically this morning, somebody posted something on Facebook and it was like highlights from Japanese game shows, not even knowing that this question was on here that I just happened to watch. But you know, it's all like the stupid stuff, like people trying to jump across, like leapfrog across stones, across water and stuff like that. And there's one where dude has to run uphill in like a confined like alleyway, but it's like Indiana Jones style, or like with the boulders coming down
from Takashi's castle.
So they could jump into a doorway to avoid it, but all of a sudden dude's running up and he goes to jump in the doorway. There's some other guy like pushing them back out. You see him get like hit by one of the boulders coming down.
Yeah, that's
hopefully they're like soft boulders.
I think so, but it's still enough to just kind of like
knock you down. It's the same show that they repackaged in the U.S. called for Most Extreme Elimination Challenge MXC. If you remember that,
yes.
10 years ago.
Yep,
it's Takeshi's Castle.
Okay,
and so they did overdubs in American.
Yeah,
Derek just
or American English
posted that too.
Yep, Takeshi's Castle.
Next question.
Oh, next question comes in from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. How incessant will the Jets fans be at the XL Energy Center? Is there anything that can be done to keep them out of our building?
Well, there's a lot that can be done.
Well, and Falska's wondering maybe a border wall, perhaps? Should we get Trump in town here? Do we need to build a wall up there?
Without getting too political.
Well, hey, he'll put a wall for us.
I don't think a wall is necessary.
No wall?
No wall. You know what we could do, though? We could get the solar guys to get the spots in the X and put them right behind all the Jets fans.
Then they won't. Then they at least won't come back for the next game, right?
Exactly.
I say we do like Clutch says and bum rush the border.
Yeah.
Before he and his dog ever knew it.
Exactly.
Right. From Crease and Assist, Eric Staal and Marian Gaborik's single-season goal-scoring record with his 42nd goal on Sunday. Are there any wild records that will never be broken? If so, which ones are safe? Nothing's safe. Nothing is safe.
No.
I think there's always a possibility of breaking a record. Nothing is too far out there that we can't see. I mean, we were talking about Staal a couple of weeks ago, possibly getting, or at least I was, 43-44 goals.
No, I think we were in agreement with that, me and you.
You know, points-wise, I don't know where he ended up with total points, but I'm guessing it wasn't too far off of Gaborik's total point. The only thing that I could see would be tougher to do is if you start getting, like, franchise players with most games, like Iron Man franchise records, where guys have played, you know, 1,000 games or 1,500 games without missing a single game. You know, stuff like that can be really tough to do, especially with guys getting traded and whatnot back and forth. But as far as any skill record, anything's open. Anything's up.
Staal fell short by 7 points as far as that goes.
Anything's up in the air as far as that goes for single season.
I think our
stuff.
Franchise is too young and it's still way too wide open to, you know. There's nobody who's set some super high benchmark on our team.
You can say that about a franchise being young, but you also have to look at how the league changes amongst that time too. That's because true. You can look at some of the records that Gretzky had set and
Things are amazing back in their day.
I mean, you look at it though,
but the league scoring was much higher back then too.
It was, but I mean, they're amazing.
But it was one of those things that was before. You know, goalies were still doing stand-up goalie. They weren't doing the butterfly, wasn't a thing. Yeah. So it was a perfect spot for guys that exploit the goalies and before goalies caught up.
Right.
That time's never going to come back. You know, as far as looking at what records exist with the Wild, you know, the one I think you could maybe say is Koivu's games played. The odds that we're going to have a single player stick with the team long enough to get that. Unless Suter stays happy again, and stays with...
That's what I'm thinking.
That's the only one.
That's kind of what I was saying, though, with a franchise record with, like, you get a guy who's a franchise player who's around for that long of a contract, like an Iron Man type thing or games played. As far as the skill stuff goes, I think anything's up in the air.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
all right.
Aaron.
From at MN Soda, Teresa Ferris. Which sports movie would the Wild channel in order to get through the first round? Maybe it's going to have to be, I'm going to say Major League, because I don't think they're as good as their opponents. And So
who's the naked person that they're pulling pieces off of?
Of course, Kenny remembers that part.
It's going to be...
Well, it'd be the GM, right? So you got naked GMCF. Like that, or are they putting pieces back on for every win?
It's Leopold, and he's got a banana hammock in a Wisconsin beer gut.
Put the pieces back on for every win. Hey, boys, every time you win, you get to see less of your boss.
I don't know. Well, maybe I pick Air Bud or something. I don't know.
Air Bud?
Yeah. Why not? We have something coming out of left field. We're trying to fill in spots here for, you know, missing Suter, and you know, maybe we hire a dog.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then I'm going with Space Jam because, I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
All right. Next question. It's actually kind of two of them I'm going to toss together here. We got one coming in from Jay Bushy 19, and then we've also T. Hain. So Jay Bushy says, now that the Wild made the playoffs, do you think General Manager Chuck Fletcher will get an extension? And if so, how long? And then T. Haynes' take on this is kind of the team is eighth overall in the league. You know, they've been playing, you know, with the long-term injuries to a lot of the top players. If they lose to the number two overall team in the league, you know, should the fans or will the fans be clamoring for him to be fired?
I don't see him getting canned this year. I think he made the right moves with the injuries that he was dealt with. You know, it's going to be tough going into the playoffs not having Suter, like we had talked
about.
That's
a big piece.
Yep. And I think just even not having Suter, I think is going to be enough for a lot of the fans to just go, well, he lost one of his main defensemen.
It's a good excuse for him to. It's almost a get out of jail free card.
Right.
I think so.
I don't think making the playoffs alone ensures him an extension. I think his signing of Stahl is a big one. Not losing Zucker in the expansion draft is also a big one.
Well, I mean, that's. What, 75 points right there?
Goals.
75 goals right there?
Right. I mean, that's a goal a night, almost.
Yeah.
So I think he's done enough moves where he's gonna be looked upon favorably. If they're one and done really quick, let's say they're swept in the first round, that's not going to look good, even with a get-out-of-jail-free card.
No.
So I think... If the Wild can somehow make it to the second round, I think he's safe.
Yeah.
I think there's still a debate though if they get knocked out quickly in the first round.
All yeah. Right. Last question from T. Hain 88. Mr. Tom Hain, would it be fair to Greenway to throw him into the lineup in game one ahead of Ennis?
Which I guess we kind of already touched base on this a little bit.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's going to be who's playing the best and who's showing the most. Not that I'm saying that some of these guys aren't going to be showing effort, because they're all going to be fighting to make that spot to play an NHL playoff.
And I think that in the few games we have seen with Greenway, And I believe he even did get, yeah, but he did get his first point finally. Yeah. And it was an assist. But I have seen, you know, some play and out of Greenway, and especially with his size, if he can actually start to use his size in there, I could see where he's going to be a lot more valuable
especially in the playoffs.
Yeah,
especially in his first round.
Yeah, yeah. Then you know when it's getting physical like this, yeah, you definitely want.
Ennis is going to be pushed around,
right?
So how valuable is he really going to be against the Jets?
Very true.
Yeah, I'd be more detrimental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
I think that's it, boys.
Yeah. Ooh, marathon.
Yeah. Almost as long as your flight home.
Almost. Right? Yep. Yeah. I mean,
wasn't it like an hour and a half?
Yeah, about an hour and a half flight.
Yeah.
It was actually. I left at like 6:30 and I landed at like it might have been only an hour, like 7:30.
In LA though.
In Atlanta.
Oh, you went
all the way to Atlanta.
Yeah. Only took an hour.
Yep.
Of course I changed days. And, but it was still the evening.
Hey.
Just a day later.
Yep.
A day earlier.
Yes.
Were you a dollar short?
See how much it messes you up.
Yeah. I went back in time.
Talk about jet lag.
Yeah. Well, actually, it wasn't a day earlier, but yeah, I think. I don't even know. Where am I? What's my name?
Right.
Anyway.
What is your name?
That's Twitter talk. Kenny, where can people find you?
Where are we right now? No. You can find what I'm doing at Nostrakenius on Twitter and Instagram.
And Jive.
Yeah, I'm Jive. You can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I am at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Angry Finn. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inthebox. If you got questions, send us those tweets with a hashtag 3A2B. We'll read them on the show.
We'll talk to you next week. After first round of the playoffs. Three games. During.
During.
Yes.
Yes.
So we got playoffs coming. We'll talk to you next
playoffs
Monday.
All right.